The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Want to give you your fix of the Buffalo Bills on a Football Monday. We all react and overreact to the Bills losing to Miami in 21-17 final. Ryan Talbot covering the Bills for NewYorkUpstate.com. Joining us now in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Ryan, how you been?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, Ryan, you're doing great after the team you cover had a loss. You asked the question. Can you answer your question here? Was this the best loss ever for the Buffalo Bills?
You know, I think for fans this season, I think for fans wondering what they were going to get out of Josh Allen, I would say, yeah, it was. I mean, all you could ask for this year was development from Josh Allen, and he missed a significant portion of this year with that elbow injury, and you didn't know what he was going to look like when he came back in terms of did he really learn when he was on the sidelines from Derek Anderson and from Matt Barkley, and clearly he has, because the last two games, he's clearly made a lot of big plays in the air with his arm, and also, I'd say more so, with his feet. Yesterday was the best game of his young professional career. And if I'm a Bills fan, yeah, you know, I understand losing hurts, and especially right after the game. But I would be thrilled after seeing what I saw out of Josh Allen if I was a Bills fan.
Read his work at NewYorkUpstate.com. Ryan Talbot joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Ryan, is this sustainable? I mean, we've seen him make plays now with his legs the last 2 weeks. I got to imagine it's as simple as he looks for his first read. If it's not there, his second, or maybe just his first, and then he uses his legs, whatever it might be. He certainly seems to be running a little bit more than you want your quarterback to be running.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I'm not sure if it's sustainable. I mean, eventually these opposing defenses are going to put a spy on him, and that can affect him in terms of his productiveness as a runner. But at the same time, when that happens, that kind of frees up someone down the field in terms of him as throwing the ball. And, you know, there were a few passes I know he'd like to have back yesterday where the Robert Foster long pass down the field that could have given them the lead back, the second touchdown or the second pass that should have been a touchdown to Zay Jones there. So, you know, there's some things that he can improve as a passer, and I think that's going to happen, especially in that short intermediate passing game if you put a spy on him as a runner. So I think, you know, the running stats aren't sustainable, but I think it'll help him as a passer when he's kind of forced to stay in the pocket because there's someone that's specifically set to keep an eye on him as a runner.
Ryan, entering this game, I was interested in seeing how these new guards would perform for the Buffalo Bills, and exiting this game, not too impressed. I mean, right now, is it fair to say that maybe just one of these five offensive linemen would be back, that being Deion Dawkins, and every other position is up for grabs here?
I think Wyatt Teller is still going to have the inside track at getting a starting job next year as well, or at least getting a chance to compete for the starting spot. But yeah, I think center, right guard, and right tackle, those jobs could all be up for grabs, and it could all be three new players, whether they're added via free agency or the draft. So I think that maybe on the left-hand side, those two players stay, just because, again, you're talking about a rookie draft pick there in Wyatt Teller, a guy that they obviously didn't want out on the field early this year because they knew there was some parts of his game that he had to clean up. And he had, I believe, two penalties called against him yesterday. So, you know, he's still a work in progress. But I do think that Dawkins and Teller are two guys that you'll see back next year as starters.
Ryan, Charles Clay played the role of heel yesterday and had a lot of people wondering why he's still on this team. Is he still going to be on this team in 2019? What are the cap ramifications if the Bills decide to part ways with their tight end this offseason?
Yeah, you know, I don't think he will be back next year. And when you look at the free agents that are available, they're guys like Jared Cook, they're guys like Tyler Eifert, a few other guys from the Bengals. But there's some guys in this year's draft class, two tight ends from Iowa that could even go in round one, and some other guys there in that round two, round three range that the Bills could target as well to replace him, and you could give Jason Crew more opportunities. In terms of cap ramifications, $4.5 million dead cap, but then you get $4.5 million in cap space next year, so it's almost like it's a wash. That seems like one of those moves that I could see Brandon Bean making because it doesn't put them in a bad cap situation, and that's something where, you know, he's really been working on that diligently since taking over as the Bills GM.
We're talking to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Ryan, what did you make of the whole Jerry Hughes situation? Now, we just carried Sean McDermott's press conference live, and for the most part, McDermott didn't really answer the question, just saying he had talked to Jerry, and that was he was going to leave it up to the league. What's your opinion here? Should we expect some discipline here from the league as far as Jerry Hughes shouting down an official in the tunnel?
You know, I don't know if you'll see any kind of time off the field, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up getting fined by the league. If Hughes really did hear an official call him the name that he said he was called, I would hope that the league would investigate that as well. I'm sure those officials are mic'd up. I'm sure there's a way for them to find out if that was true, if that really did happen. Especially with there being video of Hughes confronting the official, having to get separated from the entire officiating crew, it doesn't necessarily bode well for him in terms of a fine. I don't think you're going to see some kind of suspension. He didn't make contact with the official. He did threaten the official, but at the end of the day, I think it might just end up being a fine for Jerry Hughes.
Ryan, is discipline a problem with this Bills team? Meaning we saw penalties once again play a big role in the game yesterday. And then, of course, Jerry's outburst after the game. There was a fight last week. I mean, overall, you want to believe that Sean McDermott has these guys running things tight. But is discipline an issue with the Buffalo Bills?
I would say yes. I think discipline's been an issue before Sean McDermott came. With Rex Ryan, there was a discipline issue. I think there may have even been one before Rex Ryan came. This team just seems to kind of shoot itself in the foot. I will say you haven't seen as many boneheaded penalties, those 15-yarders minus, what we saw from Jordan Phillips yesterday for taking the leg and kind of kicking or pushing it aside after he made a great tackle for a loss. You haven't seen those as frequently under McDermott as you did under Rex Ryan. But you're still seeing a lot of unnecessary pre-snap penalties. Other penalties that shouldn't be happening, whether it's delay of game, things that can definitely be cleaned up. And the Bills have a young roster, a lot of guys in their first and second year, and you hope that as they get more experience, those are things that get cleaned up. But at the same time, you can't expect to have success when you're getting 10 to 13 penalties called against you every single game.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest here in the Sports Bar. I think this is the second game where special teams play, or lack thereof, cost the Buffalo Bills dearly. The other one being Houston. Maybe there's been another one along the way. Ryan, is special teams coordinator Danny Crossman on the hot seat?
No, I think his seat's extremely hot right now. For whatever reason, he's been carried over here by the coaching regime when McDermott took over. I know they had some ties there from their Carolina days, or they had maybe a connection, someone they knew someone when they were both in Carolina, whatever the case may be. But yeah, I mean, the special teams unit has been a bit of a disaster this year. Now, Stephen Hauschka has been great all season. He had an off day yesterday. That happens from time to time with kickers. We've seen that throughout the league this year and in years past. They've had a revolving door at punter, whether it be due to injury, whether it be due to what they deem is ineffective play. Isaiah McKenzie had the muff punt that bounced off of him yesterday. A lot of Broncos fans commented when the Bills claimed him, get ready for this guy to fumble. Well, it wasn't necessarily a fumble, but he was in the wrong spot where it bounced up and hit him in the side there and in the shoulder. Just a lot of poor play all around. And if I'm Buffalo, maybe you don't do it in season with the special teams coordinator. But I think you do have to part ways with him, with Danny Crossman in the offseason. And I hope whoever's in charge of calling down challenges to Sean McDermott is also on the hot seat, because that's been another area that's been a disaster for Buffalo.
Ryan, do we know who that person is? I mean, does he have somebody specifically pinpoint on his staff that their job is solely to say, yeah, coach, challenge that. No, coach, don't challenge that.
Off the top of my head, I don't know who that would be, but I would love to find that out, just because that person has to have access to video, that live video. And I understand that it's a very quick, you have to be sudden with it, because teams, if it's a questionable call, teams usually come up to the line quickly. But that sack yesterday that Trent Murphy had, someone up in the booth had to have seen the replay where Tannehill had the ball out of the end zone and then he was kind of pushed back into the end zone by Murphy. That's something where, okay, at the end of the day, I get it. They're trying to get 2 points. But you think that timeout would have been useful before halftime when the Bills ended up kind of moving down the field after Miami used one of their timeouts where they were trying to get the ball back? Absolutely, because then they could have made one more play and maybe attempted a field goal by Hauschka and not had to do the Hail Mary there right before half. So it's little things like that that kind of have an effect later on in the game where you see the Bills kind of blowing these timeouts in situations where they really shouldn't.
Our guest here, Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us in the sports bar. So now we get the New York Jets coming in as we turn our attention. The Bills actually favored for the first time this year. Is this the last time we'll see Todd Bowles coming to Buffalo? I would have to think that guy will be gone, Ryan.
Yeah, unless he wants to vacation in Buffalo at some point. He's not going to be back with the Jets next year. I mean, that's the coaching staff where I would be stunned if they don't hire an offensive mind. They invested in Sam Darnold, obviously. They made that move to get up number three to get him. You want to get the best, you know, you want to get the best play out of him possible and really dig into his potential. So they're going to go out there, and I think they're going to look at the offensive side of the ball more than defense and try to find someone that can bring out that talent in Darnold.
Is that the right course of action? And hear me out, because Jeremy Bates is kind of known throughout the league as a good offensive mind. They already have an offensive guy in place who's got a year now working with Darnold under his belt. Does it make sense to bring in a new offensive-minded head coach to change it up and bring in his own guys?
Well, you know, whether or not it makes sense, usually when the head coach goes, a lot of the times the offensive coordinator is going to go by the wayside as well. A lot of Jets fans have been very critical of the job that Jeremy Bates has done this year. And I can't say that I've sat down and really watched every one of their games to see if he is doing a good job when Darnold was healthy, when he was on the field. But it's just the way the league is going right now. You look at some of the majority of the best teams in the league, and they have powerhouse offenses. You have the Rams, you have the Chiefs, you still have the Patriots that are functioning at a high level. The Chargers, obviously, and the thing is, those are teams that have very good quarterback play. But I think teams are going to go out there, and they're going to look for the next Sean McVay, and whether or not there are guys out there who are ready to be the next Sean McVay will be the big question. I think there's going to be some poor coaching decisions, you know, made by teams around the league as they look for the next guru. But, you know, when a team hits on a guy like that, well, then they're set for the next decade plus. You look at a guy like McVay. He's young. I don't see him being a guy that's going to fall back in terms of offensive philosophies in this league. So he's the guy that's probably going to be with the Rams for a long, long time. And other teams are going to try to mimic that and find their own kind of Sean McVay, in my opinion.
Ryan Talbot, our guest. Ryan, you had the story first last week about a good old friend finding a job interview. We think Nate Peterman visiting Denver. Where do we leave off with that? He didn't get it. I mean, I guess my question would be, why? I mean, what would Denver possibly see? Or is it just the case that Denver looking at this quarterback, well, if the Bills stuck with him that long, they must see something? To me, Ryan, does Nate Peterman ever get another job in this league?
I think he does, whether it be on a practice squad or whether it be a number two, number three quarterback in the next year, whether it be in training camp or whether he holds on to a job in the regular season, he's going to get those opportunities. If I were to guess, I would say that John Elway and the Broncos coaching staff had a reasonable grade on him, and they just kind of want to kick the tires because this tryout that he has, I believe it's tomorrow, will be more so of 20 to 30 guys being brought in for futures contracts at the end of the year. So if they say, okay, Garrett Grayson, that's the quarterback that they have on their practice squad, he's not really developing the way that we would like. We'd like what we saw out of Nathan Peterman. Well, you put him on a futures contract, and it really doesn't hurt. You bring him in the summer. You bring him in to training camp next year, and you see what he can do because they do have a lot of uncertainty at that quarterback position. You know, Case Keenum, he'll be around next year, I'm sure. But they're probably drafting a young quarterback early next year as well. But it doesn't hurt to have a number three that at least has some experience. I think there are some teams out there that probably say, you know, the Bills rushed him. He needed that development, and they really didn't give it to him. They threw him on the field too early, may have shaken his confidence, and who knows whether or not he can get that back or not. But I think it's just a case of a team kind of kicking the tires because maybe they had a high grade on him coming out.
Ryan, what are you working on at NewYorkUpstate.com that we can go check out?
You know, we'll do a lot of Jets preview this week. I don't know if we'll save this until the end of the season, especially because of the coaching situation, but we're going to look at which team is in better shape long-term, the Bills or the Jets, because they're both, you know, two teams within the division that drafted a quarterback in round one, may hold off on that. A lot of draft coverage, though, we're starting to really get into that, whether it be mock drafts, players to kind of keep an eye on. You know, we're looking at the big picture here where Buffalo's going to have a lot of money in free agency and they're going to have 10 picks in the draft, and they're probably going to spend a lot of that money and a lot of those picks on adding talent around Josh Allen.
Well, can't wait for the offseason. Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. Thanks so much for your time on this Monday, Ryan.
Hey, anytime.
Great stuff from Ryan Talbot. NewYorkUpstate.com is where you go if you want to hear, or I'm sorry, if you want to read more of his work. It's great hearing Ryan on with us here on ESPN Rochester. And if you missed any of that conversation or if you came in late, we'll get it for you on demand shortly at the all-new ESPNRochester.com.
I would think that Danny Crossman, a holdover from the previous regime, yeah, the special teams this year, and you could point to injuries with the punter getting hurt earlier in the year. Sure, whatever. You have to be better. There are two losses now in the season where special teams play, poor special teams play, played a big, big role, and that would be Houston and certainly was Miami. 4 points were left on the field. In fact, Miami's second touchdown, big, big reason was because they were given great field position because Isaiah McKenzie doesn't know what a fire call is. There were big problems on special teams yesterday, and I think Crossman, certainly a coach that might be gone after this year.
Yeah, if you're looking for a scapegoat, you could probably do worse than Danny Crossman, unfortunately. I hate to see anybody lose their job, but at some point, and again, regime matters. Like, this is the new regime, and he's kind of a holdover from the old regime. He's a respected coach, but hard to argue the lack of production and the mistakes that have been made in a couple of costly moments for the Bills this season. Let's serve up today's top NFL stories next in bite-sized form, Gene, like we do every day at this time. It's NFL Appetizers, brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. Touched on the end of a season for a Buffalo Bill. Also, the latest out of the Kansas City backfield coming up.
Yeah, James Conner got hurt late last night, if you stuck with that game. I know a lot of fantasy players have Conner on their team. We'll give you an update on James Conner. We've got news from the Raiders, Packers, and where do the Packers go now for their next head coach, and more coming up in shots.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Scores, stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.